From the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the Bible Answer Man, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Dr. Stephen Jay Gould, famed paleontologist of Harvard, stated, "The Cambrian explosion was the most remarkable and puzzling mystery in the history of life." He also asserted that the fossil record had caused Darwin more grief than joy. Nothing distressed him more than the Cambrian explosion. Find out why when you order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or order online at www.equip.org. Hank welcomes back to the program today two leading thinkers and communicators in the intelligent design movement also featured in the DVD, Dr. Stephen Meyer and Dr. Jonathan Wells. And now with his guest, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And as advertised, today we are considering a dogma which was virtually unheard of before the 19th century. Within years, of course, it morphed from humble beginnings in the British Isles into a worldwide phenomenon, and millions today extol its virtues, and they do so with unbending devotion. In fact, I might say with evangelistic fervor. By the 20th century, the cardinal doctrines of this dogma have permeated bastions of education and penetrated corridors of influence, power. Masters of mass communication are championing its tenets, and academic institutions are churning out its messengers. Its proponents consider themselves keepers of orthodoxy, and they react with cult-like fanaticism when their presuppositions are questioned. Of course, the dogma that I'm talking about is Darwinian evolution, and the intellectual revolution it initiated provided the scientific substructure for some of what I would call the most significant atrocities in human history. In fact, Hitler's genocidal mania was fueled by Darwin's racist contention that civilized races of humanity will almost certainly exterminate and replace savage races throughout the world. Sigmund Freud, who was the founder of modern psychology, was also a faithful follower of Charles Darwin, and his belief that man was merely a sophisticated animal led him to postulate that anxiety and paranoia and mental disorders of every kind embody modes of behavior that were once adaptive for the human species in stages of evolution. But nowhere, from my perspective, were the far-reaching consequences of the cosmogenic mythology of Darwinian evolution more evident than in the pseudoscience of eugenics. Of course, eugenics hypothesized that the gene pool was corrupted by the less fit genes of inferior people, and so the plan was to identify individuals who were feeble-minded and then to stop them from breeding by isolation in institutions by sterilization. That sounds draconian. It sounds impossible. How could that happen? And yet the logical progression from evolution to eugenics was hardly a surprise. What was breathtaking is the vast rapidity with which this baseless theory was embraced by the cultural elite. I mean, its supporters ranged from Theodore Roosevelt to Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. And research was funded through Carnegie and Rockefeller foundations and then carried out in prestigious universities like Stanford and Harvard and Yale and Princeton. And then you had legislation which addressed the quote-unquote problem posed by eugenics that was passed in blue states ranging from New York to California. In fact, eugenics was backed by the National Academy of Sciences as well as the American Medical Association. And those who resisted eugenics were considered backward and ignorant. And it wasn't until the ghastly reality of eugenics reached full bloom in the genocidal mania of German death camps that it quietly vanished into the night. Well, we can thank God that eugenics has faded into the shadowy recesses of history, but the tragic consequences of the evolutionary dogma that birthed it are still with us today. And that is why Darwin's Dilemma, the DVD that I started talking about on the broadcast yesterday, is so important for you to have. I mentioned this yesterday, but this issue is not an issue that we can leave to the hired guns. They're equipping us so that we can take this issue and its consequences into the marketplace of ideas and deal with this in an intelligent way, with gentleness and with respect. But make no mistake, we're talking about an idea that has dramatic consequences. It's not as though we can say no harm, no foul. No, ideas have consequences. And this idea, this great cosmogenic myth, has had great consequences for humanity. And again, that's why we're discussing the issue today and why I want you to get Darwin's Dilemma. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, and of course you can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. So delighted to have Dr. Stephen Meyer. He's a senior fellow, as just mentioned by Randy, of the Discovery Institute. He earned his PhD in the History and Philosophy of Science at Cambridge. We also have Jonathan Wells, also a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, two PhDs, one in molecular and cell biology from Berkeley, the other in religious studies from Yale, both qualified to speak on this subject, eminently qualified, and again, delighted to have them on the broadcast. Welcome to both of you once again, and thank you for your time.
Delighted to be here.
Yeah, great to be with you.
I want to start, Stephen, with you for just a moment and ask you a little bit about what I just vented on, consequences. Ideas have consequences. The cosmogenic idea or dogma of evolution certainly has had consequences, not only in the 20th century, but certainly in our epoch of time as well.
Well, absolutely. We often illustrate this with Darwin had a famous tree. We have a tree of our own to illustrate the connection between ideas. There are many people who are concerned about the kind of I sometimes say that people have a sense of dis-ease about our culture, that there's something going wrong, and there are many things that trouble people, from the insanity plea in the courts, the everybody being a victim idea, the sexual revolution, the denial of the sanctity of life, eugenics across the 20th century, the rise of totalitarian political regimes that were, kind of a law unto themselves. And all these things seem unconnected, and yet there's a common strain of thought that does inform these various problems in the culture, and that is what we sometimes call a materialistic worldview, the idea that matter and energy are all there is, that there's no ultimate purpose to human life, that our colleague Philip Johnson has put it this way. He's described the materialistic worldview this way. He says it's the idea that in the beginning were the particles became complex stuff. The complex stuff evolved, it eventually produced us, and humans came up with the idea of God. So there is a God in the materialistic worldview, but God is at the end of the process, not at the beginning, and God is a myth. And in that worldview, it leads to the idea that there's no objective standard of morality, no ultimate purpose to human existence, nothing special about human life. But the real question is, where does it come from? What made that materialistic way of thinking so persuasive, especially in the elite culture? And I think you do have to trace that back to the science of the 19th century, with the rise of the Darwinian theory, giving a materialistic account of the creation of new animal forms, and other forms of evolutionary theory, chemical evolution, which is what my book Signature in the Cell is about, the attempts to explain the origin of life apart from any kind of design. So if you look at the scientific theories that arose in the 19th century and take them as a group, they have the impact of essentially establishing this materialistic worldview. In the beginning were the particles evolved, they evolved and formed complex organisms, and eventually those evolved into us. But there was no design, no direction, no ultimate purpose to this, and no one to whom the human race is ultimately accountable. So there's a connection between the disturbing cultural trends that many people are picking up on and the materialistic way of thinking that gives rise to those disturbing trends, and then the deep root of that, which is these scientific theories that deny that there was anything beyond the material realm.
And it certainly seems that it would be a logical conclusion to say that if we are nothing more than a function of brain chemistry and genetics, that we're not free as creatures. Our lives have been fatalistically determined.
Well, absolutely. There's an interesting historical story that, it's true. It goes back to the Scopes trial in 1925. Actually, it's the year before. It was the famous Leopold and Loeb case, made famous by Alfred Hitchcock in the movie Thriller. And it was involved two young men who were highly educated University of Chicago students who were imbibing Nietzschean philosophy from their professor. And the professor was teaching, as Nietzsche himself taught, that objective morality was a myth and that it was something that the elites needn't respect, and that people had to create their own morality and assert their own will to power. Well, these two students picked up on that, went out and killed a 12-year-old boy for the, quote, thrill of it. There was no motive in the crime other than to exercise their Nietzschean will to power. They were convicted of the crime. There was no question about their guilt. But at point of sentencing, a young attorney named Clarence Darrow came out from New York. He was sent by the ACLU, and he pleaded for clemency for these two young men and argued. He made actually the first what's called a diminished responsibility plea, the first one in our jurisprudence history, as far as I know. And he argued that these two young men were victims. He conceded that their moral machinery was defective, but since it had been programmed into them by a long, undirected process of evolution, what could they do but act in accord with the programming that they had been given by the evolutionary process? So at one point he argued that Dickie Loeb, one of the defendants, was a victim. In fact, he said, we are all victims of nature. So this naturalistic worldview, this materialistic worldview, gives rise to the idea that humans do not have moral responsibility because they don't have any freedom of choice. A Wall Street Journal cartoon captured it not long ago with a hapless little guy before a judge, and he says, not guilty by reason of millions of years of evolutionary selection for aggressive behavior, Your Honor.
And, of course, Walter Cronkite, who just died, a media icon, in that same vein, believed that his father's 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 father, going back 5 million years or so ago, was an ape. In evolutionary theory, this means that his descendants ancestors were apes. Does that mean, Dr. Wells, that his descendants in the future are going to be some different species?
If the theory were true, yes, it would imply that. Of course, I don't buy the theory. I think it doesn't fit the evidence.
And again, you want to follow the evidence wherever it leads.
Yes, in fact, to that long list of baleful social consequences that you gave us, which I think is absolutely true, I would add that Darwinism hurts science.
Right,
because
on.
It promotes a commitment to materialism at the expense of evidence. And science really progresses only when we follow the evidence wherever it leads, and Darwinism won't let us do that.
We have some incredible social media questions coming your way, as well as people calling in that want to talk directly to you. We'll do that on the other side of the break. Of course, the thing that we are really focused on today is to put Darwin's Dilemma, the DVD, into your hands. It is a stunning DVD. If you loved Privileged Planet, you are going to be intoxicated by Darwin's Dilemma. It is going to equip and educate you so that you can make a difference while there is yet time. The Edifice of Evolution is going to fall, just like the Berlin Wall. It will fall. The evidence is just too great against Darwin's theory. In an age of scientific enlightenment, it is no longer tenable, and you have to be on the vanguard of announcing its demise. Darwin's Dilemma will help you do that. It is available. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. And if you can support this ministry prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You can do that with all the addresses I just gave you, including in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back.
The big question that the Cambrian explosion poses is, where does all that new information come from? We know that new information can only come from intelligence, and so the burst of genetic information during the Cambrian era provides compelling evidence that animal life is the product of intelligent design, rather than a blind, undirected process like natural selection. That's a quote from Dr. Stephen Meyer, our guest today, and scientist interviewed in Darwin's Dilemma. Dr. Meyer is also the author of a new book, Signature in the Cell, DNA and the Evidence for Intelligent Design, highlighted in the DVD. Order Darwin's Dilemma or Signature in the Cell from CRI when you call 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff is coming to California in September. Friday and Saturday, September 18th and 19th, Hank will be speaking in the San Francisco area at the 2009 California Christian Apologetics Engaging the Culture for Christ Conference at Harbor Light Church in Fremont. For more information on how to attend or register, go to www.equip.org. And don't forget to invite your friends. We'll return with more of the show right after this.
How was school today?
It was okay, I guess.
Just okay?
Well, in science class, the teacher said that people came from apes and monkeys, and that we all came from little cells in the water. Mom, I'm so confused. You told me the Bible said that God created everything. Who's right, my teacher or the Bible?
Each school year, this scene is played out in more homes across the country. The result? More children reject the existence of God and His intended design of the universe. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote Fatal Flaws. It addresses such issues as how and when the world began, whether humans were intended or merely an accident, the spiritual dimension of the human soul, and more. Pick up Fatal Flaws by Hank Hanegraaff. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Order it on our website at equip.org.
The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible, presented in dramatic audio theater, starring Jim Caviezel as Jesus.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
And Stacy Keach as Paul.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Plus the voices of over 100 actors. Original music score by award-winning Italian composer Stefano Manetti. The New Testament presented and performed in over 25 hours of inspiration and devotion. The Word of Promise, New Testament Audio Bible. Be transformed. Be enlightened. Breathe in the Word of God like never before. Hear the Bible come alive in dramatic audio theater. The Word of Promise.
Call CRI and order the Word of Promise New Testament Audio Bible today at 888-7000-CRI or on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts.
Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information. Information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Equipping you and your family to defend your faith and grow in your knowledge of who God is. That's our mission at the Christian Research Institute, and we do it through listeners like you.
There was a time in my life where I just had no reference point of truth, and I even wondered whether the Bible was the Word of God or maybe something else wasn't. And it's ministries like yours that help bring that solid foundation back into people's thinking and expose things for really what they are. And I just want to say that I really appreciate you guys' ministry, and hopefully when I get financially set, I can start giving.
If you believe in what we're doing here at CRI, we're asking you to partner with us through regular prayer and a special gift. Your support is foundational to keeping us on the air and ministering in your area. To help in CRI's Because Truth Matters mission, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can also join online at equip.org. Darwin's Dilemma recreates the prehistoric world of the Cambrian era with state-of-the-art computer animation and features interviews with numerous scientists in addition to our guest today, Dr. Jonathan Wells and Dr. Stephen Meyer, including leading evolutionary paleontologist Simon Conway Morris of Cambridge University and James Valentine of the University of California at Berkeley, and evolutionary biologist Richard Sternberg, a research collaborator at the National Museum of Natural History. Order Darwin's Dilemma, the DVD from CRI, when you call 888-7000-274 or go on to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
And again, delighted to have with me on the broadcast today two obscurantists that have lost their brains in the narthex of a church somewhere. Well, at least that's the caricature, actually, two incredibly bright guys. Stephen Meyer, he earned his PhD in the history and philosophy of science from Cambridge, and Jonathan Wells, two of PhDs, one in molecular and cell biology at Berkeley, the other in religious studies at Yale. And we're talking about Darwin's Dilemma. And Dr. Wells, it occurs to me that I didn't ask you to define what Darwin's Dilemma was, so we have some kind of contextualization for the title of the DVD.
Sure. Darwin's theory is that the major groups of animals gradually evolved from a common ancestor in a branching tree pattern. So Darwin himself pointed out that you would expect to find in the fossil record innumerable transitional forms from this common ancestor leading up to the animals that appear in the Cambrian. And yet the fossil record is completely empty of these forms, and that is Darwin's dilemma. Now sometimes, in fact recently, some scientists in England redefined Darwin's dilemma to mean, as they put it, the absence of fossils before the Cambrian. But of course there is no absence of fossils before the Cambrian. What we have before the Cambrian are lots of fossils, but none of them, or very few of them, could possibly be seen as transitional forms leading up to the Cambrian. So it's the absence of transitional forms that is Darwin's dilemma. And the more fossils we find before the Cambrian that aren't transitional forms, the deeper the dilemma becomes.
Dr. Meyer, a question with respect to what you would hope could take place if I would sit down with one of my children or someone listening in, sat down with one of their children and watched this video together with them?
Well, a number of things. One of the things I would like to say about the film itself is that the guys at Illustra Media really outdid themselves. It, not only is it visually beautiful and it teaches a lot of science, But there's a mystery story here, and they pick it up right at the beginning, at the time of the writing of The Origin of Species, making it clear that Darwin himself was concerned about this. He was intrigued. He was worried that this was a very valid objection to his theory, but he assumed that subsequent generations of scientists would find the missing transitional forms that Jonathan was just talking about. And what the film does is it actually, in much the manner of a detective, it traces that those successive attempts to find those fossil forms and to account for their absence. And one by one, it shows how these different investigations and attempts at explaining away the absence of the necessary evidence have failed, and we're left with a real explosion, a real evidence of a very sudden, geologically sudden appearance of all this new form and structure and information. And then at the end of the film, they explore what that means and how, as a number of us argue, the presence of all this new information arising suddenly with these Cambrian animals is a distinctive indicator of intelligent activity. I unpack the logic of this in the book Signature in the Cell. In fact, I quote a scientist who says that information is habitually associated with conscious activity. So when you find the appearance of all these new forms of life, a massive infusion of new information in order to get them built, you're looking at a distinctive effect of intelligent design. So you've got a strong indicator of that. So there's a scientific story here. There's a lot of scientific information. It's very informative. Jonathan does a great job in the film of explaining exactly what a phylum is and many of the basics of basic ideas of Darwinian thought. And then you have all these leading scientists talking about the key discoveries. But at the end of the film, it also then explores the idea and the evidence for intelligent design and suggests that that this scientific evidence may be pointing beyond the material world to another reality that should give us all some hope that there may be purpose beyond the material world, in contrast to the stated view of this materialistic worldview that has so dominated our elite culture and the scientific establishment since the time of Darwin.
Again, Darwin's Dilemma, the DVD, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Order now on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. You allude to a book titled Signature in the Cell, DNA and the Evidence for Intelligent Design. This is an incredible resource which is available on the World Wide Web at equip.org, so check it out. There's something, Jonathan Wells, that you allude to in the DVD, Darwin's Dilemma. You talk about the fact that we've grown accustomed to thinking that DNA is the blueprint for the body plan of an organism, but you actually say it's more of a parts list and the plan comes from something else.
That's correct. Now, this does not in any way weaken Steve's argument in Signature in the Cell. The fact is, the best explanation we have for the complex information in DNA sequences is intelligence. But my point in the film and elsewhere is that that's not all. There's much more to the cell than the information in the DNA, and we're just beginning to understand a little bit about where that other information is. So even if Darwinism could explain the information in the DNA, which it can't, it would still be a long way from explaining the origin of animal body plans. There's much more involved.
I want to go to the phone lines, take a quick caller here, Edward in Springfield, Missouri, listening on KSCV. Hi, Edward.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You're on with Dr. Wells and Dr. Meyer.
Hi. Hey, my question is, I've heard through the grapevine that in The Origin of the Species, that Darwin, at the end of that book, said that if this is not proven as fact within 100 years, that what he has taught in that book is no good. And I wanted to find out, is there any truth to that? And if it is, where can I find out that information?
Darwin doesn't get that specific about the conditions of his theory's success, but he does lay out a couple of concerns about his own theories, quite candid about problems. One is the problem of complex organisms, and he says that if there is any complex system that's discovered that couldn't be explained by a series of gradual step-by-step changes, that his theory would be in real trouble. And he also acknowledges that the Cambrian explosion, which he knew about already in 1859, but which we've learned much more about in the successive scientific investigations, he knew that the Cambrian explosion was a huge problem for his theory, and said that it was legitimate to regard it as an inexplicable mystery. I'd like to just piggyback on Jonathan's answer of the Hank's last question, though, because I think people will be excited when they understand just how acute the problem for modern neo-Darwinism now is because of the discovery of these higher levels of information. According to neo-Darwinism, new forms of animals arise as a result of random mutations in the DNA material, in DNA. If, however, to build an animal, you need information beyond just what's in DNA, then you can mutate DNA indefinitely, and you're never going to build a new animal form. And so the Darwinian mechanism has relied entirely on mutations in DNA, and we're beginning to understand that to build the kind of animals that arise in the Cambrian, you would have needed lots of other types and forms of information, a kind of the difference between the parts list and the overall blueprint that tells the parts how to be put together. And so Jonathan's work on what's sometimes called ontogenetic information is a really critical challenge to neo-Darwinism, and it's something that the film explores. This is a very cutting-edge development in biology. If you read the media reports, you get the idea that the intelligent design people are backwards, white-shoed Bible thumpers that are, kind of troglodytes and Neanderthals. But it's actually the case that the ID scientists, including Jonathan and some of his colleagues who are working on this, are right on the cutting edge of developments in biology, and it's really neo-Darwinism that can't keep pace with the new developments and the new discoveries. Moreover, one of the things about this issue, and I think it underscores a point you were making earlier, Hank, is that this is not beyond the reach of most educated people to understand. Educated lay people can understand this issue. Jonathan's book, Icons of Evolution, the various videos you've been mentioning, this is more like detective reasoning. You learn what modern biology has discovered, and then you ask yourself the question, well, how do we piece together these clues to figure out what happened? It's a fascinating intellectual exercise, but smart people of various kinds of training can understand this, lawyers, theologians, doctors. This is not an issue that we should allow the elites to control. In fact, one of the things I'm finding is that in making the case for intelligent design, we find a lot of sympathy among software designers, among mechanical and electrical engineers, among medical doctors. These are smart people, and if the Darwinists can't persuade them, they've got a problem. In one poll a couple years ago, over 60% of U.S. doctors expressed skepticism about neo-Darwinism. Why? Well, I think it's because they know a lot about the body and they know a lot about design. And so this is, I'd encourage your listening audience not to be intimidated by the elite experts, the evolutionary biologists. Other people have relevant expertise to this and they've got good common sense, so we can suss this out like good detectives.
Got some challenging social media questions coming up on the other side of the break. Again, Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record, available. It is an intoxicating DVD. You just don't want to be without it. I mentioned this before, but if you loved Privileged Planet, you're going to love this DVD. It's available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order there. You can order via phone, 888-7000-CRI, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We will be right back. Please don't touch that dial.
To order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Now available for the first time, the entire Word of Promise Bible in dramatic audio theater with an all-star cast featuring Jim Caviezel as Jesus, John Voight as Abraham, Richard Dreyfuss as Moses, Kimberly Williams-Paisley as Mary, Stacy Keach as Paul, and Louis Gossett Jr. as John. This world-class audio production immerses listeners in the dramatic reality of the Scriptures as never before, with an original music score by composer Stefano Minetti, feature film quality sound effects, and the work of over 500 actors. Available in either audio CD or MP3. Pre-order today and get free shipping. Call 888-7000-274 or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return with more of Hank and the Bible Answer Man right after this.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas, but God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. How have some leading scientists resolved Darwin's dilemma? They argue that the Cambrian explosion of life was actually an explosion of biological information, assembly instructions in DNA, and embryonic blueprints that directed the development of the first complex animals. Information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design pointed out in Darwin's Dilemma on DVD. And with an in-depth analysis in the new book, Signature in the Cell, DNA and the Evidence for Intelligent Design. Order either of these equipping resources, Darwin's Dilemma on DVD or Signature in the Cell through CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online 24 hours a day at equip.org. And now back with his guest, Dr. Steve Meyer and Dr. Jonathan Wells. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
I am just passionate about the subject at hand. Many of you know that I myself walked away from the Christian faith early on because I did not get substantive answers to my questions. I thought that Darwin had long ago explained away in the beginning God, and therefore, because I didn't get satisfactory answers, I thought there were no satisfactory answers. We live in a day and age now where we have incredible DVDs, not just books, but DVDs that have been developed with computer animation, just in striking settings. We can sit down for maybe an hour with our kids, watch the DVD, and this DVD has all kinds of features. It has a bonus section in which I was just watching Dr. Wells answering questions, a Q&A session on the DVD. On top of that, it has a virtual museum. You can see fossils in that virtual museum. It's an incredible product. I wish I would have had that when I was in high school. You don't have to wish. It's available right now. You can order it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, we're getting social media questions. Here's one. Michael in Illinois has a very erudite question regarding the theory of Darwinian evolution. He writes, given that no other theory accounts as well for the fossil record, which today is tremendous and undeniable, which accounts for interspecies relationships, which through DNA analysis are today obvious, categorizes all plants and animals according to those relationships in a logically coherent, empirically convincing way. Boy, this is a great question. And comports with natural selection, a process we can observe among species from microbes on up. How can you rule out Darwin's theory? The fact that Darwin's theory has sometimes been used for evil purposes does not warrant its rejection any more than, say, the misuse of a kitchen knife would warrant the banning of cutlery. How do you answer that, Dr. Wells?
Well, in a sense, I agree with that. If the theory actually holds up under the evidence, then we have to accept it and try to deal with, you know, potentially evil consequences of it. But the fact is, the theory does not hold up. For example, the quote you just gave us says something about natural selection. Well, natural selection happens. Nobody denies it. But every time we observe natural selection, it does not change the species. It operates within existing species. It's like artificial selection, which people were observing for centuries before Darwin came along. Nobody questions the power of selection to modify individuals in an existing species. The problem is natural selection has never been observed to produce a new species, much less a new organ or body plan. And yet that's the essence of Darwin's theory. So this idea that Darwin's theory is scientifically undeniable is simply false.
What about, Dr. Meyer, the undeniable evidence, according to Michael, for interspecies relationships, which through DNA analysis today is obvious?
Oh, I was hoping you'd ask me about that. This is where I'm a philosopher of science by training, and sometimes I've been dismissed because I'm not a scientist. But this is where it's helpful to have someone from outside the discipline do some logical accounting. These studies that are often used to develop phylogenetic relationships compare genes from different species and for alleged similarities, and if similarities be found, then an inference is made about an organism that was a common ancestor, allegedly a common ancestor for both organisms. Problem is that the computer programs that analyze the evolutionary relationships between gene sequences in different organisms are programmed with the assumption that there must have been a common ancestor. So you actually have two different possibilities when you encounter similar gene sequences. Similar gene sequences could be the result of a designer using a well-established strategy for building the same basic parts that are used in completely different systems, or it might be the result of common descent. But the computer program is programmed in such a way as to ensure that the outcome confirms common descent. The programs are built with the assumption that similarity means common ancestry. So you can't take the outcome of those phylogenetic analyses as evidence for common ancestry when common ancestry is assumed from the very outset. Moreover, there's some very interesting new developments in genetics and genomics that are challenging the idea that we only have similarity between, say, humans and chimps. There's a problem known as orphan genes, the genes that are found only in particular organisms, completely unique. If similarity means common ancestry, what do completely unique genetic sequences indicate? Moreover, the so-called junk DNA that is was thought by the Darwinists to be a compelling evidence of non-design and of the activity of the random mutation and selection process. The junk DNA is now known to have many important functions, and overall the function of the junk DNA is much like an operating system in a computer that's telling the other information in the genome when to turn on and when to turn off and when to be expressed and when to be suppressed. So, well, the important thing about that is that the non-coding DNA is now being discovered to be species-specific. It's unique from one species to another. So you don't have these arguments from similarity to common ancestry that those arguments are no longer valid for other reasons. So I was impressed by the defiant tone of the questioner. But, you know, people, before they get so convinced that anyone questioning evolution has stepped off the edge of the rational universe, it's sometimes helpful to get up to date on the most current data in biology.
It's also interesting, Dr. Wells, that you have pointed out that the fossil record flatly says no. There's no evidence for common descent, but there are arguments that have been posited over the years, Goldsmith's hopeful monster theory, Gould's punctuated equilibrium. Maybe you don't have all kinds of vertical transitional forms, but that's because there were leaps.
Well, apparently there were leaps. The question is, what produced them? Goldschmidt thought they were what he called macro mutations. That is, you know, a single mutation that at one fell swoop produces a major change in the organism. The problem is, we never see them. Fruit flies have been mutated in every possible way at this point. And yet, no matter what we do to the DNA of a fruit fly, an embryo fruit fly, there's only three possible outcomes: a healthy fruit fly, a sick fruit fly, or a dead fruit fly. The mutations don't change it. So the macro mutation theory just doesn't work.
Jonathan, are you saying the only good fruit fly is a dead fruit fly?
Well, sometimes I think that around my kitchen when we have fruit out. But the point is that the neo-Darwinian mechanism does not do what it's supposed to do.
Another question that just came in, PT in North Carolina, has this question. I want both of you to comment on this. He's talking about a broadcast I did with Lee Strobel on intelligent design, made a couple of points which I think need to be further addressed. He goes on to say the work of Michael Behe has been totally discredited. And he talks about a judge's decision in Pennsylvania which Behe was demonstrated to be a fraud. And he says, finally, you and Lee Strobel unconsciously, I think, commit a dreadful logical fallacy in arguing against evolution. If I were to paraphrase you both, you'd say, I just can't figure out how it's possible. And then you move on to state factually that it can't be possible. Your comments.
Chapter 17 in my book, The Signature in the Cell, addresses this claim head on. The argument is often made that the case for intelligent design is nothing more than an argument from ignorance, and the argument is parodied as saying the following: since we can't think of how evolution could have produced system X, therefore it must have been intelligently designed, or therefore God must have done it. Well, if that was how we were arguing, that would be an argument from ignorance. But we're not arguing that way. We're saying that there are certain features of living systems, for example, the information encoded in DNA, that have not been accounted for by any known natural cause, by any cause that we can observe in our present experience. But in addition to that, we know of a cause that is capable of producing, for example, specified digital information, and that cause is intelligence. So when we survey the array of possible causal explanations, intelligent design is best, not because of what we don't know, but because of what we do know about A, the inner workings of life, and B, about the cause and effect structure of the world, about what we see occurring in our uniform and repeated experience. So So it's not, the argument for intelligent design is not an argument from ignorance. It's an inference to the best explanation. And as for the judge in central Pennsylvania, I'll put my money on Mike Behe, biochemist, Lehigh University, any day over a federal judge. The discussion of the origin of life is not something that can be decided by a federal judge. And Judge Jones was operating way above his pay grade. And Behe has not been refuted. His ideas about irreducible complexity, I think, have been reinforced by recent developments in biochemistry, quite the contrary to his critics.
Hank, if I could just jump in, this Behe claim, I mean the claim that he's been refuted, and also the talk about the judge, if your listeners want more information, they should go to the Discovery website. That's www.discovery.org/CSC. There's lots of stuff there by Behe and by others, including lawyers, analyzing the Dover decision. And the idea that it's a dead issue is just nonsense.
Yeah, one additional resource we might mention is the new textbook, Explore Evolution, that discusses the argument about irreducible complexity. And in a point-counterpoint fashion, it presents Behe's initial critique of the power of natural selection to produce irreducibly complex systems. It then presents a discussion of what's called the co-option objection to Behe, and then shows that there's a very compelling objection to the idea of co-option, the idea that you can build up these complex machines from simpler molecular precursors. So that debate has not by any means been settled in favor of the Darwinists.
Dr. Wells, I want to thank you so much for being on the broadcast. It's been a great privilege.
My pleasure.
Dr. Meyer, same as with Dr. Wells, an incredible privilege to have you on the broadcast.
It's been great to be with you, Hank, and thanks for highlighting for your audience this important new resource. I think people are going to be blown away. It's a great mystery story, it's a great scientific argument, and it's all woven together with beautiful visuals.
And again, it's called Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record. It is available to the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, remember how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. Darwin's Dilemma, it is a must for you, for your family, and for your friends. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Instant Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed On the Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly without predecessors in the geological record. So there was a deep conflict between what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Also check out Signature in the Cell, DNA, Evidence for Intelligent Life by Dr. Stephen Meyer, featured in the DVD, as well as other intelligent design resources featuring today's guest, including the highly acclaimed The Privileged Planet, Unlocking the Mystery of Life and Icons of Evolution. You can also write to us at CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.